Well, it's funny that these Shakespeare plays, they tend to kind of come back to us in cycles. I think one of the reasons why people are focusing on Romeo and Juliet is, one, we all love a really great love story. Also, I think if we know Romeo and Juliet, we know that not only is their story a fantastic love story, but it's set on this backdrop of a lot of cultural hatred against these two families that kind of hate each other, but you don't really know why. So I think there's this sense of us wanting to find ways to kind of come together with love in spite of the fact that we're being told to hate each other for so many different reasons at so many different levels, whether that's political or cultural or ideological or whatever. And so I think we gravitate towards this play because it shows these two people who, despite everyone's efforts to keep these families apart, they keep drawing themselves towards each other more and more.
Wouldn't it be interesting? They should do I'm sure they've already done this, right? But they should do a modern take where, like, Romeo and Juliet, but one's like a Republican and one's like a Democrat. And then you have, like, the families going out. I bet that would be really interesting to watch, at least, and be culturally relevant.
Well, I mean, it says these two households, both alike in dignity, right? And it says this ancient grudge, right? It talks about this ancient grudge, but it never explains what the grudge is. It just means that these families just are hating each other, but they never explain why. And I just find that so fascinating because, you know, we're told so often, we're kind of, you know, one family is told to hate another family, or you're on social media and they're like, everybody's dunking on each other. But, like, what if we just put that away and we just focus on each other as humans? And that's what happens is Romeo and Juliet see the humanity in the other person and they fall in love before they realize they're not supposed to.
Welcome to the Lehigh Valley with Love podcast. I'm your host, George Wacker. And today we're talking with Jason King Jones, the artistic director of the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival at DeSales University. We saw each other at Biddy and Bo's in Bethlehem and we said, hey, we have to make sure that we do this year. So here we are. And it's great to have you on the show. As always.
So, happy to be here. Yeah.
Well, real quick before we get started, thank you to our wonderful sponsors, WDIY 88.1 FM, Banco Beverage Company, QuoteAhead.com, Michael Bernadin of Remax, and Wind Creek Event Center. The Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival was founded in 1992. It's 35 years old. It's the 35th anniversary this year. And it has grown into a major summer theater tradition at DeSales University, bringing Shakespeare, classics, musicals, and contemporary work to audiences in Center Valley. This summer marks the Shakespeare Festival's 35th anniversary with a lineup that includes Romeo and Juliet, August Wilson's The Piano Lesson, Million Dollar Quartet, Moriarty, and more as part of its Legends and Legacy theme. Single tickets are on sale now, and the season is actually, we're in it. We're in it now through August 2nd. So, Jason, we're through all that. Talk to me about the 35th season. This must be really exciting for everybody.
It's amazing. It's our 35th anniversary. It's also our 30th year being recognized as the official Shakespeare Festival of the Commonwealth of PA. So we are really thrilled about this kind of double anniversary happening at the same time. Coincidentally, it's also our 25th year of our educational tour, our Willpower Tour that served over 250,000 students across the Commonwealth. So it's a big year for us. And so we wanted to focus on legends and legacy this summer. So we're putting together a collection of stories that really captures the spirit of these legends that help make us what we are, of course, Shakespeare, Jane Austen, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, as told through Ken Ludwig in his Moriarty play, and these legends of our American culture, both August Wilson as a writer and the century cycle of these 10 plays that he wrote about these different centuries and these different decades, rather, in Pittsburgh. And these legends like Elvis Presley and Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, who make up the Million Dollar Quartet. So all these legends we wanted to kind of condense into this summer theater series and then think about, like, what's the legacy that we leave behind? What do we carry forward into the future, into the next 35 years as well?
So, yeah, somebody might not maybe equate Elvis with Shakespeare here, but, you know, how do we do that? Like, talk a little bit about
this. Absolutely. Well, the way that I see it is, You know, Shakespeare is the great, 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 great grandfather of so much culture that is now a part of America. You know, it's also the America's 250. And some of the founding fathers really read their Shakespeare. They studied their Shakespeare. They knew their Shakespeare so well that it whether we know it or not, it's baked into our American culture. And when we think about our American culture, we also think about these things that are so much a part of our culture, like rock and roll and jazz music and just our American history and how we've been shaped by so many things in the last 250 years that are that intersect with our culture. So, you know, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily think about Shakespeare, Elvis and Shakespeare in the same place. But when we think about culture as defining our identity, it all makes sense for me that Shakespeare and Elvis could all kind of live in this 35th anniversary season.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. This is an aside. Like, people always complain about, oh, they're redoing this movie or they're redoing that movie. I'm like, they never complain when they redo Shakespeare. We're so excited when they redo it. Like, we want to see how do they take on Shakespeare. So, you know, exactly. It's this idea of telling that story again. So you're directing Romeo and Juliet this summer. And dare I say, Romeo and Juliet is having another renaissance. I'm old enough to remember the Leonardo DiCaprio movie that is still amazing. But
absolutely.
It's having like a cultural moment right now. Talk a little bit about that. Why is that, do you feel?
Well, it's funny that these Shakespeare plays, they tend to kind of come back to us in cycles. I think one of the reasons why people are focusing on Romeo and Juliet is, one, we all love a really great love story. Also, I think if we know Romeo and Juliet, we know that not only is their story a fantastic love story, but it's set on this backdrop of a lot of cultural hatred against these two families that kind of hate each other, but you don't really know why. So I think there's this sense of us wanting to find ways to kind of come together with love in spite of the fact that we're being told to hate each other for so many different reasons at so many different levels, whether that's political or cultural or ideological or whatever. And so I think we gravitate towards this play because it shows these two people who, despite everyone's efforts to keep these families apart, they keep drawing themselves towards each other more and more.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting? They should do I'm sure they've already done this, right? But they should do a modern take where, like, Romeo and Juliet, but one's like a Republican and one's like a Democrat. And then you have like the families going out. I bet that would be really interesting to watch, at least, and be culturally relevant.
Well, I mean, it says these two households, both alike in dignity, right? And it says this ancient grudge, right? It talks about this ancient grudge, but it never explains what the grudge is. It just means that these families just are hating each other, but they never explain why. And I just find that so fascinating because, you know, we're told so often, we're kind of, you know, one family is told to hate another family, or you're on social media and they're like, everybody's dunking on each other. But like, what if we just put that away and we just focus on each other as humans? And that's what happens is Romeo and Juliet see the humanity and the other person, and they fall in love before they realize they're not supposed to be in love with each other.
The answer's been here all along in front of us, like in Shakespeare. You know, we keep coming back to these. And, well, do you direct every summer, and then do you get to kind of pick what you're directing?
The joy of being the artistic director is, I get to choose which play I get to direct. And it's part of the gig that I'm expected to direct a show a year. Okay. I also co-directed our tour of As You Like It that's going around in the community. We've got free performances that's going all over the community through the 14th of June, plus a extra performance on Community Day on June 27th. The director of education and community engagement, Kim Carson, and I are co-directing that one. But yeah, Romeo and Juliet is my baby, and it's the one that I've been excited about directing for over a year now.
Sure. Let's talk about maybe another one that you're excited about, or talk about some of these others, and how the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival has become this big summer tradition now. I mean, it's something that people are looking forward to. They're planning vacations around. How do you feel like the Shakespeare Festival is kind of different maybe than from other similar festivals or other things that you can go see?
Yeah, of course. Well, for one, in the Lehigh Valley, we are the major regional theater. We're it. And so because we are it, that's one of the reasons why we produce so many different shows, why we do a musical every year, plus a Shakespeare, plus new plays like The Complete Works of Jane Austen Abridged, which is a play that's only been around for about 5 years, as well as Ken Ludwig's Moriarty, which is also a relatively new play, although it's a take on an older story. And we have children's programming. We've got Sheila the Magical, which is a it's a sequel to last year's Princess and the Frog, a play that I wrote, both that and the sequel. So we've got this variety of programming. So it's a way for our community to kind of engage from a lot of different cultural opportunities, a lot of different touch points. So that's one thing. And I think the other thing is that we really are committed to being connected with our community in a variety of ways. We only produce our summer theater season in the summer because the DeSales University performance spaces are only available to us in the summer. But that doesn't mean that we're not engaged with the community for the rest of the time. So we spend so much of the fall and the winter time staying connected to our community, finding opportunities, doing education work. We've exploded our education programs. There are so many things around. We have our own podcast now as well. So there are all these ways that we're connected to our community so that then when the summer comes around, people are excited about re-engaging and joining and coming back to the campus.
Yeah, and so here's the chance for people who maybe haven't been or are on the fence. I think like bringing in stuff like Elvis, right? I think that's great because somebody's going to be like, wait a minute, I love Elvis. I'm going to go check this out. For somebody who hasn't been there before, you know, hasn't been there in years, what would your plea be to come out this summer?
Well, if you've never been here before, come experience some of the best quality theater that you can get anywhere. Many people say it's as good or better than Broadway, and there's free parking. So you're not paying for tolls, and you got a great place to experience a lot of great live entertainment. If you've not been in a while, boy, have we grown up. There's great stuff beforehand. There's pre-show entertainment. There's music beforehand. You can get food from our concessions area. So you can kind of come for the whole evening, or if you want to come in the afternoon for matinees, you can come for the day. So it's there's really so much variety of programming. There's something for you at Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival this summer.
It's exciting, and we're looking forward to taking it in. And thank you again for joining us. I hope to run into you again at Biddy and Bo's, probably my favorite coffee shop in the Lehigh Valley. And the Pennsylvania Shakespeare Festival, 2026 Summer Theater Series runs through August 2nd at the Sales University in Center Valley. You can get the full schedule, look at all the shows that we were talking about at pashakespeare.org. And I think it's fun that Romeo and Juliet is like back, you know, it's always fun to see, you know, these plays that maybe you've read or you've seen 100 times, but to see them again, it's like you're seeing them for the first time when you go for something like this.
These plays, man, these plays have a way of speaking to our contemporary moment, and we're really excited to share them with our audience this year.
Well, thank you for all you do. Thank you for all PA Shakespeare Festival does. Like you said, you're out there throughout the year. It's not like you just set up a tent and it's like, oh, we're going to do this for a couple of weeks. This takes a lot of planning, a lot of work. You guys are, like you said, you know, as close to Broadway as you're going to find, if not better. And we're lucky to have you in our backyard. So thank you for joining us. And we're looking forward to seeing you this summer.
Yeah, thanks again. Come check us out at pashakespeare.org or come to the campus at DeSales University.